Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of the book of Mishlei. This perek is 25 psukim long, so it's slightly shorter than the parakim we've seen up till now. And in general, it follows the same pattern as book 2 of Mishlei, and that is the pattern of contrast, that every pasuk, almost every pasuk, is a contrast between good and evil, between good things and bad things. And it's very hard to map out one specific theme, but there are general clusters of psukim which revolve around certain ideas or certain words. Let's try to unpack some of those and then take a look at some of the psukim inside. So the first few psukim, the first four psukim, one of the central words is the word nefesh. You see it appear a few times. So for instance, Pasuk Gimel, notzer piv shomer nafshoy, a person who guards his mouth preserves life, but poisek a person who opens his lips wide is to his own ruin. Of course, there's much to learn about these ideas, the idea of the nefesh. How do we preserve our soul? We move into the next group of psukim, hey to tes. In this, the operative word seems to be a contrast between tzaddikim and rasha'im. So there seems to be many mentions of what tzaddikim do, and there are similar things to what we've seen in the previous parakim. Devar sheker yisno tzaddik, a tzaddik hates falsehood, rasha yavish v'yachpir. But if you put it compared to a rasha, the wicked man is vile and disgraceful. We see many of these ideas mentioned in this, the idea of tzedakah, the idea of showing wealth or hiding wealth. All these ideas are reflected in the terms of tzaddik and rasha, closing the pasuk, or tzaddikim yismach, v'ner rishaim yid'ach, which is translated as, is that the light of tzaddikim is radiant, the lamp of the wicked is extinguished. The next little group of psukim are yud, all the way through yud ches, and this really seems to be the central part of the perek, where it's talking about a person who is willing to ask, a person who's willing to grow and learn. A person who's not willing to ask outside of themselves will ultimately find their own downfall there through. And he talks about the idea of a person who's arrogant, rak bezadon yita yitain matza, that a person who's arrogant will therefore reach intentionality and danger, ves noatzim chokhma. But if you are, as is described over here, the wisdom belongs to those who seek advice. That really seems to be the theme of these psukim, the central part of this parak. You'll see as you go further in psukim yud tes to chaf aleph, as we move towards the end of the parak, there's the idea of there being some form of din v'cheshbon, some sort of judgment that misfortune will happen to those who don't follow the right path, and there will be righteous reward for those who seek wisdom. And finally, the end of the perek, the last few psukim, chof beis to chof hei, conclude the idea of longevity found through education. Tov yanchil b'nei vonim, good is to the person who is able to inherit to grand children. Very powerful statement over here. V'tzafun tzadik la tzadik chel chotei, and the wealth of the sinners is stored up for the righteous. There's going to be ultimately reward. There's going to be longevity for those who seek it. There is, in general, in the overview of this parak, there are a lot of things which appear and reappear a number of times. Some of them, and the main ones, really seem to be the idea of desire and the dangers that desire will lead to, a life lived in indulgence. And the other main theme is the willingness to seek musar, the willingness to seek advice outside of oneself. If one is not willing to seek advice outside of oneself, one ends up becoming an echo chamber. One says the same ideas that one believes, and one hangs out with people who have similar beliefs, and ultimately repeats the things that one wants to hear and never changes or improves. That's the danger of such a lifestyle, and this perek seems to focus on that. Again, I would highly encourage everybody to take a look actually inside and see every sentence. Every sentence requires a lot of unpacking. Here are two examples. Two famous psukim, and they're the last two. Very famous pasuk is pasuk Chav Daled, Chosech shiftoi sonei v'noi, a person who removes the staff ultimately hates his son, v'ohavoi, and he who loves him, shicharoi musar, disciplines him early. So of course, you know, in the world that we live in, where corporal punishment has long been dismissed, at least in the Western world, we smirk at this and we say, really, you know, that was a backwards world where people would use corporal punishment and physical discipline as a way of leading their children. And of course, we're beyond that. And yes, in many ways, that was a system which instilled fear. But whether or not this refers to the physical staff or the verbal staff, the idea is very simple. And as explained by the Matsuris, he says it in such straight and clear language. A person who withholds from his child, from their child, any form of discipline, hine l'sina yete choshev, it will be considered in the end hating that child, ki sofo yetze l'tarbus ra'a v'yamus b'avonoi. You don't tell your child no. You don't know when to set boundaries. You don't have a curfew. You don't tell them when or when not to use a device. You don't have any device policy in your house. Well, you know what? You are ultimately abandoning them by doing that. You're abandoning them to other people's interests, the interests of advertisers, the interests of bad influencers who are friends, to people who don't have as many rules than even you may have. And ultimately, that is really hating one's child. It's the easier route out. It's the route of more convenience not to confront one's child, not to set boundaries, not to have ultimate repercussions for one's actions. But in the end of the day, it will ultimately come back to be hurt one. And the Mitzvah says one can even lose one's child, chas v'shalom. In opposition to that, you know, the beginning of the parak, which is Oyhavoy, a person who loves one child, Shicharoy, will give them the Musar at the beginning of their life. And he says this is sort of the mashal of a tree. When you plant a tree, if you grow it in an area where there's not enough space for the roots or the trunk and it has to grow at an angle, it's going to forever be stunted. It will forever be twisted in a way which is not rectifiable. At the very beginning, you need to make sure that it grows the right way. I remember I was once had a conversation with Moish Bain, who's the president of the OU, and he said a very interesting thing. He said that, you know, ultimately, when your children reach a teenagerhood or late teenagerhood, they're really not interested in listening to anything you say. And if they ask you advice, they're going to take your advice. But if you tell them something, it's very unlikely they're going to listen. However, the only way to get them to ask your advice at that stage is not to give them advice at a certain stage, but to get them to that point in the first place, you need to micromanage every moment of their life beforehand. Meaning to say, you need to give them the education necessary in order to be able to give them the guidelines, to make sure that they know where they're supposed to be going and why they're supposed to be doing what they're doing before they get to that point. So that when they do get to the decision-making process and they want to ask good advice, they know that you care, and they also know and they have the wherewithal to be able to actually make decisions, and they're not simply products of convenience and entertainment. That is a very, very high bar, and that's what is being discussed over here, as understood in this Tehillim. The Midrash in Mishlei takes it one step further, and it says this might actually be a metaphor for all of Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, you know, sometimes it looks like you're going through the gutters of history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand that there's a process over here, that ultimately, as the Resisei Laila, Rav Tzolak HaKoyen says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us to these different countries, to these different galios, there's something we need to get out of it. There's some kedusha that needs to be exhumed from it, but there is a point. It's not simply HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoning us. That's what is understood over here, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hating us, he is disciplining us. Another pasuk to focus on is pasuk Chof Hei, and that is the last pasuk of this perek, which reads as follows. Tzadik oichel soiv anavshoi, uveten roshoim techsar. A righteous man eats to his heart's content, but the belly of the wicked is empty. What is the meaning of this? So, the Vilna Gaon explains this absolutely beautifully. He says, you know, that a Rasha is a person who lives without bitachon, without a trust in Hashem. And if you live without a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you think that every single day is a battle. You think that there's no one who's going to look after you tomorrow if you don't look after yourself. So even on the eating supper tonight, you're thinking, you know, tomorrow morning I'm out of food. So what do you start doing? You start storing away food. You start worrying. You go to sleep worrying. You never really enjoy what you're doing. A tzaddik says, you know what? Like the man in the desert, I had a little bit today, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for me tomorrow, so I can enjoy today. What does this perspective allow? It allows the enjoyment of the now. Let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk reads, Tzadik oichel l'sov anavshoi. A tzadik will eat to the satiation of their heart's content. Why? Because they know that tomorrow Hashem will look after them. Uveten roshoim techsar, but the belly of the wicked is always empty. Why? Not because necessarily they don't have enough, but they don't trust that there will be enough, and therefore that impacts even the way they enjoy it now. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.